Hello, you are listening to Food for Thought here on Siren 107.3 FM. I'm Charlotte Reed, and each week I find out about local food, restaurants and cafes for you to try out for yourself. On the show this week, I chat to Joanne Bycroft, who runs the Bowlful Tapas Bar, and she thinks it's important for her restaurant to work within the community.
I'm a firm believer that you're rooted within the community, and Lincolnshire's my home, and this is where I got brought up, and I'm bringing the Spanish flavour, but it is very important to me that everybody feels like this is part of what they, you know, what they want out of their community as well.
And Food for Thought regulars Sam Perdue and Jonathan Craswell joined myself to celebrate Pancake Day a bit early to find out if gluten-free and soy milk pancakes actually work.
That's the best pancake batter I've ever made. I'm not kidding. This is Siren
FM. A lot of the restaurants and cafes that are featured on this show are hidden away within the city. The Bowlful Tapas Bar, which is run by Joanne Bycroft and her family, is no different and is tucked away on West Parade. The restaurant serves up authentic Spanish food, but to reflect the community around them, some of the dishes have a Lincolnshire twist to them. However, it hasn't always been a tapas bar whilst Joanne has been in charge there, which she explained to me when I visited her restaurant a few weeks ago.
Well, we've been running a restaurant for 8 years as a daytime cafe. And we got to the point where the trade had gone down from that and we needed to do something different, both personally and financially. So we looked at what had been successful over the previous couple of years and we'd done various special evenings. Tapas had always been the most successful of those. So I looked into whether that was a viable thing that I could do, whether I could source all of the ingredients locally, within this country at a price that would make it a viable business. That all turned out really well. And we opened as a tapas bar and it's the best thing we ever did.
So before, was it just sort of like more general foods, not sort of specialised?
It was always in a bowl, which is where the name came from. So it was always homemade soups and stews, casseroles, that sort of thing. Everything homemade, homemade bread, homemade cakes. So that ethos still stands, as in it's all still homemade, but obviously we weren't specific then, no.
And so how did you come up with the idea to sort of focus in tapas and Spanish food then?
It just was something I was quite passionate about. If you were actually in the restaurant now, you'd see behind me there are a large amount of Spanish cookbooks. I do a lot of reading, a lot of research. I've got lots of friends that live and work in Spain. I'm not a Spanish myself, although that is a question I get asked many times. And I just absolutely loved the idea of it. And we didn't have another tapas bar in Lincoln when we opened this. So we were sort of cutting new ground within Lincoln, really.
And so is it quite hard to make sort of authentic tapas food with locally sourced ingredients?
I think it is quite challenging. I use local ingredients as much as I can, and my menu is partly Lincolnshire based because of the use of local ingredients. One thing that Spanish people do really well is they use the ingredients within a kilometre of where they live. So all of their food is very local. So all over Spain, the food is completely different from one region to the next based on the local food. So yes, it is difficult to be authentically Spanish using Lincolnshire ingredients because obviously that's not Spanish, but I use all the right spices, use all the right methods, research all the recipes and everything. So yeah, it's good fun.
So what kind of food have you got on the menu that's sort of got a Lincolnshire taste to it then?
Well, the main thing that has been on the menu since we started, which nobody will let me take off the menu, is a dish called Lincolnshire Albondigas. And albondigas are small meatballs, commonly with a tomato sauce in Spain. But what I do is I make them out of Lincolnshire sausage meat, and I mix pimienton, which is Spanish spice, in with them, and I roll them in breadcrumbs, and I serve them with a honey sauce, and everybody absolutely loves them. So that's the main sort of fusion dish that we have on the menu.
And so when people come to the restaurant, do you have to particularly explain tapas food or explain what's on the menu, or do people sort of already know what they could expect?
I think it's a mixture. We have a lot of people that have lived in Spain who come to the restaurant because they know we're authentic, so they like that side of it. But we do spend a lot of time with people who've never been to a tapas restaurant in their lives before, don't understand what tapas is. And we're very welcoming of that fact, and we like to teach people what that is. And yeah, so we do spend quite a lot of time with people, and we suggest what they might like to eat, for instance, along those lines. So yeah,
obviously from looking around and the restaurant, and as you mentioned to earlier, you do sort of like to create a sort of Spanishy feeling in here as well, not just with the food.
Oh yes, I'm a passionate art collector, and I'm always looking out for both authentic and traditional Spanish art, as well as using local artists and asking them to create me something Spanish. So I've got a fusion of that as well. So I've got things from the 70s, things from the 60s, and things that were made sort of last year. So yeah, I use that influence.
So is it sort of quite an important thing for you to sort of have this fusion, because you've got it in the food and also in the way that you've decorated the place?
Definitely, because I'm a firm believer that you're rooted within the community, and Lincolnshire's my home, and this is where I got brought up, and I'm bringing the Spanish flavour. But it is very important to me that everybody feels like this is part of what they, you know, what they want out of their community as well.
And so do you also sort of do things about Spanish culture as well? Do you do any particular evenings with...
This last weekend on Saturday, we had a flamenco night, which was the Fiesta de Sant Anton, which is the festival of Saint Anthony, who's the patron saint of animals all over the world. But in Spain, they particularly celebrate that with fires and bonfires and flamenco dancing and different food and everything. And particularly in Sant Antonia, which is in Ibiza, in the Spanish islands. So what I did this weekend was used all food from the islands, specifically, as well as the flamenco dancers. So it was a complete festival atmosphere for the weekend.
So how have you managed to accrue so much information about Spain and Spanish culture and Spanish food?
I think it's like going back to education a bit. But I spent a long time doing one thing. I wanted to learn about new things. I was influenced by my friends who live in Spain. And I'm a font of knowledge when it comes to Spanish sort of cuisine and that sort of thing now, and I really love it. I'm absolutely passionate about it.
So do people, when they visit the restaurant, sort of once they realise how much information you know, start quizzing you and start wanting to know more?
Yeah, the only thing I can't do very well is speak Spanish, and then they start speaking to me in Spanish, and I'm like going, oh, don't know what you're saying. So that's a bit embarrassing. Unless they're saying ingredients of a menu, I'm fairly okay with that. But they start trying to have a whole conversation with me in Spanish, which is quite difficult. So yeah, they do quiz me, yes.
And so what's it like having a restaurant down, it's quite down the sort of lower end of the West End, which has that sort of strange feel of residential, and then you pop across restaurants as well. So what's that like?
People have to find you. I've been called the hidden gem and the little treasure and all that sort of thing. Like I said before, I'm very community based. So I'm passionate about community buildings like this one not becoming residential. I want them to be places that people go to, and this was built as a commercial building and it should stay as one. You know, as long as I run it as a restaurant, it should be a restaurant. But if, you know, in the future I didn't do that anymore, then I think it should be still a restaurant or a shop.
That was the first part of my chat with Joanne Bycroft, who runs the Bowlful Tapas Bar on West Parade, just outside the city centre. And you can hear the second part of that interview later in the show, when Joanne chats about the importance of building up online reviews from her customers for her business. This year, Shrove Tuesday is on the 12th of February. Each year, it's celebrated by making and eating as many pancakes as you can. Pancake Day is a Christian day and is a chance to use up all of the ingredients left over in your cupboards before Lent begins, which is a time to give something up. Pancakes are only made up of flour, egg and milk, but even from those simple ingredients, it might stop some people who can't have flour and milk from eating them. To find out how to successfully make gluten-free and lactose-free pancakes, Food for Thought regulars Sam Perdue and Jonathan Cresswell join me to try making them.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
So it's coming up to Pancake Day, and so we decided, because there's only a few ingredients in pancakes, but there could be things that are in the pancakes that people are allergic to. So Sam, you are our general sort of gluten-free expert.
I like how I've been named the expert recently.
Yeah.
It's just because I eat the food, isn't it?
Makes you an expert.
Yeah, it does. And we're going to try some different, I like to say allergy-free, but they're not really allergy-free, but for people who are wheat tolerant or are gluten-free and lactose-free pancakes. And then we're going to combine gluten-free and lactose-free pancakes. So, Charlotte, do you want to hit off with the ingredients while I weigh it out?
Okay, well, for pancakes, you only need flour, eggs, and milk, really.
Now, so that's 50 grams of flour weighed out. We need one egg. Then, Charlotte, if you go in the fridge, you can get the milk. Just below you there.
Okay, so we're only making small batches because we're hoping to get through a few sort of test batches of different types of pancakes. So I think there's a limit that people can have of pancakes.
And whisk. So these are just plain gluten-free ones. Quite a liquidy batter.
When you're making gluten-free cakes and gluten-free pastry and things like that, you can tell that there's a bit of a difference from the normal cake batter. Can you actually tell that as much with pancakes?
Yeah, I think they're a bit rubbery. they're not as soft and fluffy, I think, as pancakes should be. Right, I think that's whisked up, Charlotte, you know. So, are we going to have a go at, see what they taste like?
Yeah.
Now, is anyone any good at flipping pancakes?
No.
This is going to be fun.
Just want to know where we're all at the same bit then.
We'll let that heat up. But I do love pancakes. They're one of these real things that I don't understand why we don't eat more of them. And they're a real British thing.
I suppose it's because everyone gets it into their head that you eat as many as you physically can on Shrove Tuesday. And then that's you done for the year.
I think the trick as well is having a really good hot pan. Okay, so pancake is in. Okay, well, I'm going for a split. There we go.
Oh, that's good. That looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
Yeah. It definitely tastes like pancake. Oh, you see what you mean with how it's a little bit rubbery?
It's not hugely different. You can still tell that it's a pancake. It does taste
quite like
this. Looks
like a good
one.
Mixture.
It has the same consistency and the kind of...
That's the best pancake batter I've ever made. I'm not kidding. I think the secret is to make it much more liquidy.
Much more liquidy than you think it would.
Yeah, than you think it perhaps has to be. We're going to do soy milk and gluten-free pancakes. We have put 60 grams of plain gluten-free flour in a bowl. And this time we're going to put 100 ml of soy milk. And this is sweetened soy milk, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't think any of us really know a great deal about soy milk.
No. So we're not going to sound like experts or anything.
No, one of my friends back home is lactose intolerant. So she reliably informs me that...
This should work.
This should work.
Okay, and they taste nice?
Yes, she said of all of the ones we try, that the soy milk ones would be the best. This
really?
This was her claim.
This was her claim?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the gold that has been thrown.
Okay, so do you want to weigh out the milk, Charlotte? It's really thick, isn't it, soy milk? And I'll do the same with water again.
Now, if it's sweetened soy milk, it will be interesting to see if it will still taste good for something that won't be as sweeter flavour with a pancake as well.
Yeah.
If you're not having it with sugar or... chocolate or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just a matter of a bit of lemon. Okay, pan on. What is your ultimate favourite topping?
The one I remember the most from childhood has to be trying ones with jam. And I'm quite particular with jam. I don't like jam with bits in it. So it's kind of the jelly jams as well. So those are the ones I particularly remember from childhood. And then as I got older, kind of realised that lemon wasn't as bad.
Okay.
As you maybe think when you're quite young.
Okay.
I seem to remember it's like one of the few times at home where you actually have proper No, but you have the little plastic lemon containers.
Oh, the squeezy
branded.
Lemons.
Yes, the little squeezy ones.
Yeah. Okay, right. Flip. Smells like a pancake.
It's looking good.
Well, it started breaking up a little bit more when you were plating it than the other ones did, maybe.
So just trying it as a pancake. I don't think I can taste the difference.
No.
I was like, let's go for another taste.
Should we try a little bit of lemon on it and see if that is
real different?
And yeah, if you need the sugar on it, that'll let us know about the sweetness.
Mm. I still think if you're going to do lemon and sugar,
you still need the sugar.
The tartness of the lemon is still there.
Is it too tart?
So you still need the sugar. It's not that much sweetened. So not too much of a difference then.
No.
That's good.
No, I think the gluten-free and soy milk ones are a winner.
So far,
two.
You can have pancakes no matter what.
I mean, everything in my kitchen is gluten-free, but it must be a nightmare for people who live with people who can't eat wheat, because sometimes it does require like different cooking utensils.
But I suppose it means that if you just found out that someone needs to have soy milk or have gluten-free stuff, then you know that you can just make one big batch and it won't make a difference to everyone else.
Absolutely.
That was our attempt at cooking on the radio. We also tried out a recipe for gluten-free American pancakes and also tried a batch of those with chocolate chips in, which worked brilliantly. If you'd like to try these out, then you can find out all the details on sirenonline.co.uk and click on Food for Thought. And I know it's a little early to start talking about Pancake Day, but if you have any cooking tips or pictures of your attempts, then just send them over and I can mention them on the show. You can find out all the contact details you'd need on the website. Now, earlier in the show, Joanne Bycroft from the Bowlful Tapas Bar chatted about how she started her restaurant. She serves up authentic Spanish cuisine, but with a Lincolnshire flavour to it. The restaurant is on West Parade, and she told me about the challenges she faces to get people to realise where her restaurant is.
It's difficult to get people down this end of West Parade. I often get a phone call when people are outside the police station on the start of West Parade going, well, we've reached the end of West Parade, where are you? And I say, no, I'm the other end. And they've got quite a long walk ahead of them. But it works. Once people find us, because we're quite small and intimate, people come back again and again.
I've sort of noticed that you started building up online, particularly reviews of people saying what they thought of your restaurant. Is that something that's becoming more important to how you're sort of running parts of the business?
I think it's important for anybody in this business to be aware of the reviews that they're getting. Things like TripAdvisor are really important online now, and you need to manage those properly in the same way as you would manage other areas of your business. You can't please all of the people all the time, so you get good reviews and bad reviews, and you need to make sure that you're doing the right thing with both sides of it. But it is really key to the business, and we have been in the top sort of four on TripAdvisor for the last year, and people find you from all over the country based on that. So you have customers that would never have come to you before are coming to you just based purely on the reviews that they read on the internet, so it is really important.
Do Facebook and Twitter other things as well, or is that?
I've got round to doing Facebook, although I don't go on there every day because I'm a small-time Facebook user and I don't like getting bombarded with things myself, but I go on there every 2 or 3 months and say this is what's coming up. I've not got into Twitter yet. But that's because I'm a bit old school when it comes to that sort of thing. And also, because I'm very small here, I have to be careful about managing expectations. I'm already full the 3 nights a week that I open, and I can't fit many more people in. So if I was advertising in more places or using more media, then more people would be ringing and then I'd be letting more people down. So it's a fine balance between one and the other.
And is there any particular reason why you open 3 nights a week?
The main reason is that we're family run. We don't have any staff. We don't employ anybody. So there is myself in the kitchen. My mother does out front. My husband helps her out front when he's not working. And my dad washes up. I had two restaurants before where I employed lots of people. But I found that was quite difficult and quite stressful. So I went back to being family run. And when you open 3 nights a week, especially in this location, we don't have the footfall of a town restaurant. So people aren't wandering past you on a Monday night looking for somewhere to eat. They have to book and come to you, you know, for a specific occasion. So Thursday, Friday and Saturday night, if you're full 3 nights a week, then that's better than being half full, you know, for 7 nights a week.
So what's it like working alongside your family then?
Well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. You can't have an argument because, well, and if you do have an argument, obviously you've got to keep it behind the scenes and not let anybody else know. But on the other hand, it's absolutely brilliant because you're all very committed to the business. You're all very committed to the customers. The consistency of service is there because, you know, you all work together at it. You're not constantly trying to teach somebody how to do it because we all do it because we absolutely love it. So the good sides are good. And the bad side is I actually only live next door as well. So I live on top of my parents as well, which is obviously quite challenging sometimes.
So has your family sort of had restaurant experience before?
Yeah, I myself have only been doing this for 10 years, but my mother used to manage restaurants as I was growing up. So every Christmas, any special occasion, when I was very small, I can remember waiting on tables when I was 10 years old at Christmas. So that it's ingrained in me. It goes back a long way. So, yeah, we've always done it as a family.
And are they as passionate about Spanish food as yourself, or...?
I'd say I'm the driver in that because I'm the young one, the one that's, you know, sort of doing all of the research and everything. But my mum's really passionate at making sure that customers feel like they are getting the most authentic experience out front as they can. We have a complete Spanish wine list and she's very good on knowing where the wines come from and what they taste like and what they'll go with food-wise and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Are there any big things that you would like to do with this restaurant or do in the future to do with food that you'd like to achieve?
Oh, I just like to stay consistent, really. I don't know whether I'd want to do something different. This is the second sort of becoming of the Bowlful, and we might do something different again in the future. I think restaurants have a lifespan of between 3 and 5 years when they are really successful, and then after that, you know, something new opens and then people move on. So you have to be constantly thinking about change and how to sort of move with the times. And my mum and dad aren't getting any younger, so perhaps I might go off and do something on my own somewhere else, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Is it quite nice to be something a little bit different? Because Lincoln is quite dominated by Italian restaurants or Italian delis. Is it nice to be a little bit different?
I think it's superb to be different. One of the main things that people say to me is that it's great to be in a family-run restaurant, not a chain. Most of the restaurants, I would say 95% of the restaurants that we have in Lincoln are chains of some description, whether they be only two or three or, you know, big national and international chains. So to be a one-off and be family-run is really key to being successful, I think.
That was me chatting to Joanne Bycroft a couple of weeks ago about her restaurant, the Bowlful Tapas Bar.
107.3 FM. This is Siren FM.
That's all for this week on Food for Thought. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you know of any cafes or restaurants in Lincoln who you think should be on this show, then let me know. All you need to do is head to the Siren website, sirenonline.co.uk, and click on Food for Thought. And there you'll be able to find my email address, or you can tweet us using @SirenFM. Also on the website, you can listen again to all of the interviews from the show in full.